2 Timothy this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. As you find that, would you please stand with me so that together we might honor the reading of God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, begin reading in verse 1 this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Let's pause just for a moment. Lord Jesus, we are blessed because of You. Lord, the songs that we heard this morning stirred up a lot of memories in my own heart. The gospel, how it changed my life, how that in the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In Christ Jesus alone, we have hope and peace. In Christ alone, we are saved. Lord God, I pray this morning that as we look again into Your Word, I would ask, Holy Spirit, that You would guide us, illuminate our hearts and minds. Father, that we can see the old truths, the very foundations, the absolutes which we stand upon, even in times of heartache and tragedy and confusion. Even in times of blessing, Lord, we still must stand upon these certain and true foundations. So I ask today, Lord, God, that You'd speak to our hearts. Take the offering, O God, that's about to be given. Use it for Your honor and glory, to spread the gospel and to disciple those who know You. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul, as he's writing, it's the last letter that he would write before his execution. He tells us in verse 1 that in the last days, perilous times will come. And then he goes down in the next couple of verses. He begins to sort of characterize what that would look like. He's not attempting to put a face on anything, but he's trying to help us to understand what the end is going to look like. I made some comments earlier, and I want to add to those this morning. When you understand that since 1960, the crime rate has increased 460%. That's almost incredible. There have been 40 acts of violence dealing with schools, colleges, universities, since prayer was taken out of the school. Now listen. The answer is as painful as it is simple. And you got to be careful, because I'm going to make a statement, and it's easy for us to say, well, it's out there. It's somebody else. Listen. The further we turn away from God as a nation, the further we drive Him out of our society, out of our schools and courts, out of our media and out of our homes, or the more we give mere lip service to religion, the more men are holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, the worse things are going to get. Amen. We are now involved in a cultural war against Jesus and Christmas. In the last few days alone, Fox News headline, holiday message, atheists dub Jesus a myth on Times Square billboard. CNN column, have yourself a merry atheist Christmas. AP article about the war on Christmas. Fox News has a story about a rapper singing about a gang banger Jesus. Alaska, atheists wage war on Christmas in Anchorage, anti-religion signs on people mover buses. Comedy Central's Jon Stewart wages war on Christmas and mocks those who think he is wrong. And then he presents a hilarious reimagining of a Christmas carol. It's no longer, ladies and gentlemen, we've got to understand, persecution has changed its face. It's not just when someone is executed because they believe in Christ and they refuse to recant. The persecution now is subtle. It's been a war that's been going on for 6,000 years since creation. Satan is doing everything he can to mar the image of God, and you and I are the image of God. And when we, listen, as a nation, we talk about Israel as a nation, we talk about the United States, we've got to think as a nation. When we at large, we have turned God out of our schools, our laws, everything, we are losing our moral compass. We've got all of these things that are happening to us as a nation. You say, well, David, where's the issue? Well, we can go to the book of Nahum, and Nahum simply comes and he says, and by the way, Nahum writes 150 years after Jonah. You remember when God sent Jonah reluctantly? Jonah wanted to go down to Nineveh. He didn't want to go because he didn't care about him. He didn't care if they all died. Well, he's concerned about people, not just nationalities, not races. God's not into all that. That's why we carry the gospel into all the world. But Jonah goes, and you remember he preached for 3 days, and then there was revival. I mean, the people were so broken over their sinfulness and their wickedness, even the animals repented. They put sackcloth on the animals. Read the book of Jonah. 150 years later, the preachers and the shepherds and the leaders of Nineveh had turned their backs on God. And Nahum writes something like this. He says, your streets are filled with bloody corpse. It's so common that you just step over them now. You just go around it. You're used to it. You're comfortable with it. And the whole problem is that the shepherds have become silent. They're no longer warning people. And listen, when a pastor stands up and when a preacher stands up and he starts preaching about sin, listen, and he starts saying something about homosexuality, and he starts talking about Islam, and he starts talking about adultery and fornication and drug abuse, he's not just picking, he's trying to warn people of the judgment that's going to come, because that's what happens when you get involved in those things. Those are warnings from the Word of God. You say, well, you're just being narrow-minded. No, I'm not being narrow-minded. I'm trying to be broad-hearted, because if we don't tell people, then listen, we're wrong. We're just as wrong as they are. We have to do that. We must do that. We have no choice. Not at all. I mean, I like to preach nice sermons and make everybody laugh and giggle, but this morning I want you to wiggle. We can't look outside of these walls. It's easy. It's the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve, what have you done? They pointed at each other. We can't do that. That's not the answer. It's not the answer anyway. We've got to look within, church. Joel chapter 2, and this is, you wanted a short sermon today, you're going to get it, but I want to give you a lot of truth to think about. Joel chapter 2, verse 12, listen to Joel. 800 years before Christ, 2,800 years ago, he writes these words. Joel chapter 2, verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart and with fasting and with weeping and with morning. See, it's easy for us, again, to just disengage because, well, that's the northern kingdom. We're in the southern kingdom. It's our nation, ladies and gentlemen. Fasting with weeping and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. In other words, this is not a show exterior. This is something that has to happen inside of us. Turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth he of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast, that's the babies. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. In other words, the honeymoon is over. It's time to come to reality. Verse 17, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine inheritance to reproach. That the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Let me redo verse 17. Lord, give not thine heritage to reproach, that the sins of the world should rule over them. Wherefore should they say, this is the cry of the atheist, where is your God? Where is your God? You know, that question has been asked a lot in the last 10 years since 9/11, 13, 12 years. People were saying that when Pearl Harbor was attacked. Where's God? People were saying that, and it just, you could fill in the blank. Some of you have said that. Where's God when an illness or tragedy has happened to you personally? So, David, what's the answer? We need to come back to Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Let me ask you a personal question. When was the last time that you wept over this country? Not because your guy didn't win the election. When's the last time you wept over the fact that you were beyond fear? And not just scared, but just your heart was broken. When's the last time, I mean, you honestly wept over it? And that's not a question. You know, I'm a man. I'm not doing that. I'm not going there. I'm just saying, when's the last time that you were concerned enough about it, and when you cut the news off, you were done with it? Folks, we've seen the face of evil again, except this time it was in a classroom. The innocent ones, the children. Put a policeman in every classroom. That's not going to stop it. It's not the fact, and it's like trying to legislate morality. You can't do that. You can't legislate evil. You can't do that either. But what do is we've got to pray that God is going to do such a work of grace in our hearts, and that we will understand that man's only hope is Jesus Christ. Now listen, it doesn't stop there. You say, well, David, we know that. I know that, folks, but listen, here's the question. Are you living it, and are you sharing it right here in our community? I mean, ever since I heard this thing on Friday, it's been running through my mind. What if? How would I respond? What would I do? What if it was my own? What if it was my wife? Because she's, what if? I said, well, David, forget the what ifs. What are you going to do, even though it's up there? It's not in another nation. It's our country. These are our people. The best thing that I can do is to take Joel chapter 2, verses 12 and 13 to heart. That's the best thing I can do for my country. And then, live it out. Live it out. Sandra and I were out yesterday, and we were doing some things, and a young man was helping us, and it's amazing. I looked at him, and before he could say thank you or anything, I said, son, I said, Merry Christmas. And he looked at me and he said, thank you, sir. Merry Christmas to you. Simple thing. Did I get the warm fuzzies? No. because as a servant, I'm supposed to do that without pay, without pat on the back, without saying, attaboy. That's who I am. It's not what I do, it's who I am. And who I am is because of whose I am. Persecution? It's subtle, but it's there. We've got to understand, folks, that when you became a Christian, you surrendered your rights to yourself. I know that doesn't sound real good, but that's the truth. Because if Jesus is Lord, then you don't have any rights, because all of my rights belong to Him. And if we are the minority, which we are now in America, we've got to understand that because we're a minority, we need more of God than ever before. That's the weeping and not rending our garments but our hearts and turning unto the Lord. For we know that He is gracious and kind. He will, by His grace, if He chooses to, leave America a blessing. Last thing, is America in the Jonah stage or are we in the Nahum stage? Jonah means there's getting ready to be a revival. Nahum means it's judgment time. It's judgment, America. Are we reaping as a country what we've sown? Are we? I have to be honest. I have to say, yes, we are. But I hope that God's going to be kind to us and gracious to us. But you see, if God's going to be kind to us and gracious to us, He is going to do it through somebody. And He can do it through us. See, we think a blessing. We just want all the bad and the ugly to go away. No. God wants to change the good and the bad and the ugly. He wants to change their hearts. And He's going to use us to do that. He's going to use us. We're His hands. We're His feet. We're the body. That's what we do. When you leave today, you'll notice that the flag is a half-mast. It's been a national tragedy. Let me caution you, be careful what you listen to. I mean, you won't believe the different scenarios I've heard in the last 3 days. His dad, his mom, his brother. I mean, he did this. I said, all that really doesn't matter. The fact is that 28 people lost their lives in that little school in that town. 28. 20 of them were children. Babies. Innocent. So what can we do way down here in the South, the other kingdom? We've got to keep our hearts clean, and we've got to, listen, pray for our nation. And that doesn't mean pray for a party. That doesn't mean pray that you'll get your way and you'll get your taxes. No, folks, we're way beyond that now. We've got to pray for our country, that God will be merciful to our country. As one man said, the Lord God Almighty is a gentleman. He won't force us to accept His great love and many blessings. If a nation tells Him to leave, He will leave. He will leave. He will leave. We're living in a day where right is wrong and wrong is right. Isaiah 5:20. We are the minority, we are the remnant. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, there is a picture. It said that Israel, there was so few left of the nation of Israel, righteous Israel, godly Israel, that they were described as being a nail. A nail. Look in your concordance, a nail. And you know what nails are there for? They're there to hold something up, but they're also there for something to hang on to. You hang something on it. May we be the nail in our town, in our county, in our state that people can hang their trust on. People can hang because they know that we're going to stay the truth. We're going to live the truth, and we're going to be the truth. Amen? even with tears, even with frustration, even apologizing to each other, even with all of that. That's part of it. That doesn't mean we've got to be a perfect ain't no. But the fact that we will be that nail, we will be that remnant, we will be that minority that God can count on in these days. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, as we have this invitation, Lord, I'm inviting this church to look into their own hearts. The worst thing we can do is look out and blame. The second worst thing we can do is try to figure out why and how. Because, Lord, all that does, that just transfers guilt. That just transfers our attention. That transfers, Lord, our attention. It's easy just to burn up all of our energy and just say, well, that's over there. It's not here. And it doesn't affect me. And my kids are okay. I'm okay. Everything's all right. But God, we're looking at our nature, our nation, and we're looking at the nature of the nation. Lord, we are spiritually sick. I'm not so sure that we're not on life support. But if it were for the grace of God, we would not even have a nation. Or we can talk about our traditions. We can talk about our founding fathers. We can talk about a lot of things. But Lord, that's then and there. This is here and now. What are we going to do? Lord, we've got to start with our own hearts. Love our neighbors. Love our neighbors. And God, that's a wide spectrum. That means even the ones we've divorced, the ones we've been fired from, the ones that we do not like, that means love our neighbors. Love them as Jesus would love them. That doesn't mean be pitiful. That doesn't mean, you know, feel sorry. No, it means love them unconditionally. And Lord, it's going to take the grace of God in all of our hearts to be able to do that. We've all been hurt. We've all been abused. We've all been refused. Lord, that's what you're after. You're after revival in my heart first. God, help us to be leery and weary of 2 Timothy 3:5, a form of godliness but no power. Just giving you lip service, saying the right things, thinking the right things. Oh God, but if our heart is wrong, it's wrong. It's just wrong. It doesn't matter what we say. It's hypocrisy. It's deceitfulness. And the world has plenty of that in it right now. So God, we need and we must be the nail. That is our task. That is our burden. Jesus is all we have. And when it's all over said and done, it's all that's going to matter, that we had Him. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.